Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
She does not like children whatsoever.
My son said he's seen the floor covered with blood.
She gets them at night, for sure.
He stabs her 27 times with a screwdriver.
This guy really did a job on her.
She would torture the out of them.
I want normalcy in our lives again.
People should not live here. She just wants this person dead.
Something bad's going to happen. My name is Amy Allen.
There's panic, and it's almost like a butchering.
I see dead people.
They all died horribly.
I speak to dead people.
Get out of here!
And they speak to me. But there's only one way to know if my findings are real.
It doesn't matter where you are, I'll find you.
I rely on my partner.
I'm Steve DiShavi. I'm a retired New York City homicide detective.
This guy's a real piece of work.
And I know every person, every house, has secrets.
I feel like I live in a house of hell.
It's my job to reveal them.
This is not good.
But Steve and I never speak.
We never communicate during an investigation.
Until the very end.
I want my life back.
When we uncover if it's safe for you to stay.
Is he trying to kill her?
Or time to get out.
Oh my God.
This is going to kill us.
I'm in Delmont, Pennsylvania. It's about 25 miles east of Pittsburgh. I got a call from a desperate mother. She says the activity is so bad in the house, she spends every night with her three kids sleeping in the living room. She thinks the activity is destroying their childhoods, and if we can't help her out, someone's gonna get hurt.
Before Amy arrives, I clear the area of any leading information. Family photos and personal items can influence her findings, so it's important that I cover or remove them all. When I'm done, the location will be ready for tonight's walk.
Oh, boy. There's a male, definitely. I think he did really awful things. He had a lot of issues with women. Like, any kind of involvement with women didn't really go very well. And then, like, someone else is saying, you know, like, no, people should not live here. It's been bad for a very long time.
So, Melissa, on the phone, you sounded pretty desperate for myself and my partner to come out here. What's going on?
Since day one that we moved in here, I knew we weren't alone in this house, and it's just progressively just gotten worse. My husband sleeps upstairs. My children and myself sleep in this room. My kids will not sleep in their rooms.
Well, that can't be great for the marriage.
Yeah, I mean, I should be able to sleep in my room with my husband, but I'm frightened of what it could do to my kids.
Who exactly lives in the house?
It's my husband, me. This is my daughter, Simone. She's 9. This is my son, Mason. And this is our baby, Cyrus.
Let me ask you a question about the house itself. You know any of its history or anything?
This
was my husband's grandfather's house. So we are the third generation. Actually, I have a picture of it, if you want to see, from, I believe, the 1800s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so give me a rundown of what's going on.
Noises, voices, horrible nightmares, and apparitions.
You feel like it's something threatening?
Definitely. I think there's something very nasty here.
How are you dealing with this?
I'm exhausted and I'm drained, and I've had chronic health problems for over 5 years, which no doctor could tell me what was wrong with me. It feels like my body's shutting down. Either we're gonna go or something bad's gonna happen.
I know you were desperate for Amy and I to come here. What would be the best outcome for you?
I want normalcy in our lives again. It's hard. Being sick is hard. And I do feel like this house has a lot to do with it. My kids can't deal with it anymore. I can't deal with it anymore. My husband can't deal with it anymore. It's just like, I'd rather just pack up and go and just to start over, you know?
We're here to try to fix that.
I know. I was feeling so desperate and hopeless. I mean, and I'm ready to fight it, whatever it is.
This guy, like, as far as his interaction with women, is a problem here, you know? He's a real creepy creep. He's like kind of on your back all the time, stalking, following, watching.
Are they aware of it at all?
I think so. Like going through ladies' stuff, underwear, you know, watching them get dressed or undressed. It's a feeling of like, I'm going to the bathroom, I'm being watched. Like skeevy pervo.
Why'd you bring me in this room?
This is the room we all sleep in.
It's no way for anybody to live.
No, not when we have a big house with rooms.
So I'm curious about yourself. What experiences have you had?
When I was walking through the second floor hallway upstairs, a very large black shadow moved right in front of the door when I was trying to cross through. I ran out into the hallway and there was nothing there, nobody there.
Was it possible a shadow did come in from outside?
No, because it was up in that hallway. There's no windows or anything.
Was anybody in the house with you?
No. It scared me to death, you know, it did.
So anything else going on?
My son just woke up the other day and had a big bruise on his side. I wake up with bruises on me. My daughter's woken up with scratches on her.
And that's in this so-called safe room you're in?
Mm-hmm.
Could that be as a result of tossing and turning?
No, I mean, everyone's on a soft, cushy surface and away from each other.
Are you afraid there's something attacking you guys?
It's crossed my mind, because if that's the case, then it takes it to a whole nother level.
I see two women, an older one and a younger one. The younger one's angry with me. Dead guy is yelling, and he says she's a spiteful little who doesn't know her place and doesn't know manners. And she needs to be regulated. She does not like children whatsoever. She doesn't look at them like they're human. And I think that's a big problem if there's any children in this house. She would literally torture the shit out of them.
So Jimmy, I was talking to your wife about a lot of things your kids are going through. She also told me that the house has been in your family a long time.
Yeah.
Do you know how long?
Since 1952, I believe.
Did you spend time here as a kid?
Yes, I spent a lot of time here. There's a picture when I was, I believe, 5 with my grandfather. We were fishing down here at the creek, and I caught a 17-inch rainbow trout.
So you had good memories?
Oh, yeah.
Your kids aren't having the nice times that you had, though.
No. My kids are afraid to go anywhere in the house. From what they said, I can't blame them either, you know?
Right. You know any history about the house?
My grandmother died in the house. From what I've been told is she had bone cancer. She committed suicide.
In the house?
In the room next to us, and that's where...
Right here?
It's where Mason and Simone both have their dreams about, where they swear they've seen things in there. And my son multiple times has said he's seen the floor covered with blood. It's just tough. It's just things that kids shouldn't, you know, even talk about. And that's why I agreed to all this.
Have you had experiences?
I was sleeping and Next thing you know, I woke up, like bouncing, like it felt like I got picked up to the ceiling and dropped. I come straight out of the room. My wife said I was white as a ghost. Strangest thing I've ever had happen to me.
Do you suffer from seizures?
No.
Nothing like that?
No.
Were you drinking heavy that night or anything like that?
No. That's the main reason that I said to contact you guys is because there's no normalcy here at all. Kids shouldn't have to feel this way or go through this stuff.
Yeah.
They should be allowed to just be kids.
There's a lot of anger. There's a person yelling and screaming. I saw the dead guy doing stuff to a living guy. I actually see him touching a living male. I don't think that the living male appreciates this. So I'm seeing yelling and screaming. Like, stop, I've had it. Stop, leave me alone. Go away, stop.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I was talking to Mommy earlier, and she was saying that you and your brother were having a tough time.
Yeah.
That you guys were all sleeping downstairs together.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell me about some of the things that are making you afraid?
Well, I heard my door and dresser drawer slam. And this was when I was laying down, getting ready to go to bed.
Okay, is that part of the reason you sleep downstairs with Mom?
No, I've seen mist in corners of the room.
Okay, what kind of mist?
Like blackish that you can see through.
Okay, can you describe how it's shaped?
It's shaped like usually in a circle, but sometimes it's in like weird shapes.
Okay. Mommy mentioned something about you guys having bad dreams, is that right?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Well, I have dreams about people chasing me in the house. They're usually grown-ups.
Okay.
And it's usually a man, but sometimes it's a woman.
Do they say anything to you, honey?
Mm-hmm. They say, "I'm going to kill you."
the younger lady, she really hates kids. Absolutely despises them. Like, the energy she puts out is monstrous. And these kids can feel that, you know what I mean? It's weird, too, because the older lady is really the one kind of ratting her out. But I see her, like, as a darkness. It's at night. She gets them at night, for sure, for sure. What does she do to these kids? She's in here a lot. She comes in there a lot. She likes that doorway a lot. I see her sleeping in the bed. I think that this person, they used to be cuddled or caressed, and then it got bad. It got frightening, like clutched, being clutched. Cold, icy hands. Really bad, really bad.
So I was talking to Mommy earlier today. She told me that you and your sister are pretty scared.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why that you can tell me?
I thought I saw blood on the floor.
That's kind of scary. Okay, is there anything else that scares you?
I saw, like, a white shadow coming down the stairs.
Do you remember what it looked like?
It looked like, I don't know, it was the shape of a man.
Okay. So was that the only thing that scared you?
No. I hear sounds a lot, like rattling and banging. It's coming from Mom's dressing room.
From Mom's dressing room?
Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like that kind of scares you then, huh?
Yeah. I'll only go up here, like, sometimes when my mom's up here.
Okay.
If nobody's up here, I won't go up here, especially at night.
Especially at night. Okay. We're going to try to fix things, me and my partner. And then you could come up here all by yourself and just have a good time in your bedroom. That sound like a plan?
Mm-hmm. There's a little boy. I don't know, maybe 8?
Okay.
And the younger woman, she's like this silhouette rushing back and forth between the rooms. It's like there's a weird noise. Like she's moaning or screaming or something. These kids, they're both, you know, seeing this and hearing this. But I don't feel the clutching in here, the touching from her to this person. It's more like smothering, much smothering in here. Much smothering. There's a weird relationship between her and that person in that room. But here, she just wants this person dead.
Jimmy doesn't know a lot about his grandmother's suicide in the house, but he said I could reach out to some of his relatives. Turns out his aunt, the victim's daughter, was there minutes after her mom shot herself.
So, Kathy, you grew up in that house, right?
Yes.
Did you ever experience anything in the house that you couldn't explain?
I haven't.
You haven't? Okay.
No.
Now, your mom, what kind of woman was she?
Mom was the best. There was never anything in my world she did wrong. Ever. I have a picture of my mom. This was in the mid to late 50s. It was actually taken in the living room there.
Now, I understand your mom had gotten ill. Is that correct?
My mother got bone cancer. She was diagnosed with it about 1981 or two, somewhere like that.
My grandmother died of bone cancer, and I remember how painful that was.
Very terrible. Just said, well, runs in the family. I guess it's my turn. And here's a picture of her shortly before she died.
I know it's going to be tough to talk about, but can you take me through what happened the day your mom passed?
The day Mom died? I was working. I got a phone call from my dad. And he says, come quick, I'm shot. Got here as quick as I can. Come into the house and went upstairs and found her in her bed.
And with a gunshot wound?
Yes. And seeing where the gunshot wound was, it went right through the brainstem. She was gone.
Okay. Yeah. I know. I'm sorry, honey.
After all of these years.
It doesn't matter. You could be 80 years old and you'll still think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You all right?
It's the older woman. She was sick.
A lot.
I'm trying to figure out what exactly she had. She was, like, very confused about where she was, what was happening, what's going on. Very, very dizzy. I do think the living would feel this. Passing out. Fainting. Somebody got it in the head. Ow.
Now that I know Jimmy's grandmother committed suicide in the house, I need to see if there's anything else that can help my investigation. Searching through old records, I find a strange story. It involves a woman who lived right by my client's property who got married only to have her husband kill himself a couple of days later. I called the local historian to look into this weird suicide for me. She called me back and said there's a lot more to this story that will definitely help my case.
So, Tracy, before we get to this weird suicide, you mentioned on the phone there was some interesting stuff about his widow. What can you tell me?
Her name is Maddie Wagaman, and she lived a few doors down from the property you're investigating. Her family had a very successful tavern in Delmont, so she would have been a child of privilege in the area.
All right. Did she do anything, or did she live off the parents' money?
She was a seamstress, but she had bigger plans. She wanted to make her own money and not live off of her dad's money. So she got involved in the Westmoreland County home scandal.
What's that all about?
She's in these rich homes, sewing dresses, making things for these ladies, and she's seeing some things that maybe she wants. So probably took things here and there.
Did she ever get charged?
She did not, and she did not serve any time.
Okay, so now I saw in the article I came across that she got married at 35.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which it seems kind of late for that time period.
Well, Maddie was a rebel. She got married late, and she had a child out of wedlock in 1873, and she named him Everett.
So I can imagine in 1873, having a kid out of wedlock had to be a big to-do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even in the 1970s, it was a big scandal. So just imagine the shame that was brought on her in that small town.
So possibly because it was a scandalous thing, nobody wanted to marry this girl.
Well, in April of 1884, she goes and she meets this guy in Greensburg, this J.R. Taylor.
Okay.
And she married him within the day, shocked friends and family.
Wait a minute. She got married the same day she met the guy?
Same day she met him.
Wow. What happened?
Just a couple days later, he wrote 4 suicide notes. And in those suicide notes, he expressed how sorry he was, that he had no money and he could not support his new bride. Only possession he had of value was a gold piece. And he wrote in the suicide letter to leave it to Maddie, a woman that he only knew for a few days. Then after he wrote those notes, he went and took a lethal dose of morphine and was found the next morning.
From the altar to the grave. That says it all right there, huh?
The younger lady, she was all about money, 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 money. Her parents may have had some money. I'm seeing like gold. I would put her not much further than 1918. She might have had 2 relationships with 2 men that didn't end well. She's like a control freak. She's kind of demented.
Another thing caught my attention. Back in 1970, just down the block from Jimmy and Melissa's house, a guy broke in and murdered a woman right in front of her 6-year-old kid. I'm heading over to meet with the county sheriff, who said it was one of the most brutal crimes in the city's history.
So, Sheriff Held, this homicide I asked you to look into for me, it was pretty brutal.
is one of the most notorious in Delmont's history.
So what were we able to find out about the victim in this case?
Her name's Harriet Thomas. She's a 52-year-old white female. She lived across the street in one house over from your client's property.
All right, so what do we know about our perp in this case?
His name is Johnny Foster. He was 25 years old at the time of the murder. He lived across the street, but one house in the opposite direction from the victim. And we have a picture of him, too. Got into trouble at a very young age. First arrest was at 12.
Okay.
And it started out just petty crimes, you know, theft, breaking into houses and stealing. He was once investigated for breaking into a neighbor's home and observing her while she slept and actually touched her and woke her up.
He's a creeper.
Yes. Peeping Tom, maybe he
right.
referred to as.
The pervy guy? I would kind of put him like in the 70s, like 1970s or 60s, maybe. I'm trying to get a read on the creepy guy who watches the living here. He doesn't want me to see anything, but I'm getting quick glimpses of what he was like in life. He's weird, like stalker. He was some kind of sexual offender.
All right, so how's this homicide go down?
On February 28th, 1970, he broke into Harriet Thomas's house. Apparently, he was mixing alcohol with 15 benzodiazepine pills.
Very strong narcotics.
Yes. There's a struggle with her, and he stabs her 27 times with a screwdriver in front of her six-year-old son. And I have the coroner's report here.
Okay. So she stabbed in the chest with a screwdriver. This guy really did a job on her.
He was actually convicted in this courtroom right here on December 7th, 1970.
So now, what did he get convicted of?
He got convicted of murder and got sentenced to life in prison without parole. And we have a photo here that is a Department of Corrections photo.
Okay, so now this guy's 25 at the time of the homicide in 70. Plausibly, he could still be alive in jail, right?
No, he died in 2003 of lung cancer at the age of 57.
Good. He deserved it.
Something about the number 15. Has something to do with this male. I do see blood on his hands when he's talking about this. He's older. He's probably in his 50s. He's got like that kind of hairstyle. It's longer, you know, swept over. He occasionally has a mustache. You would never think he was a weirdo. Like, he looks like a nice little middle-aged, you know, family man or something. I saw several dead people during my walk, but the angry woman tormenting a living child had me the most concerned. She's young, pretty thin. She had dark hair. There was a kid in the bed, and this lady, she was smothering this child.
Is this what you saw?
Yes, that's what I saw.
Now that Amy and I have completed our investigations, we're ready to reveal our findings to each other and our clients for the first time.
Now, Amy, when you talk to Jimmy and Melissa here, it doesn't take but a couple of seconds to realize how much they love their kids. I have a photo here of the family. This is their oldest daughter, Simone, who's 9. This is Mason, who's 7. And this is Cyrus, who's now, what,
22 months?
22 months. Now, they're the reason we're here. Melissa thinks they're in danger. Even though the house has been in Jimmy's family for 3 generations, if we can't help him, he's ready to pack up and leave. So now that Amy knows a little bit about your family and what's going on here, I'm going to ask her to describe her walk.
When I got here, there were several dead people roaming about. But first, I want to discuss the male that's in the living room area.
Okay.
And he seemed to be kind of a sexual deviant. I actually saw him going through ladies' underwear. He likes to watch people get undressed. He also likes to caress or touch people.
That doesn't surprise me because I always feel like I'm being watched. And it's weird because, like, when I'm getting a shower or anything, it's like I shut the door and then I still feel like there's, like, a camera or something on me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not alone in there.
I did actually see him in the upstairs master bedroom and he was touching a male. What I saw was this male feeling something strange happening and kind of being like, You know, I'm sick and tired of this. It's got to stop.
It's funny you mentioned upstairs because, I mean, things are so bad in the house that Melissa and the kids sleep down here in the living room.
Okay.
Do me a favor. Tell Amy about the incident with the bed.
Yeah. I felt like I was picked up. Picked up to the ceiling and dropped.
And he's not someone who scares easily. When he came out, he was white as a ghost, and I knew something was wrong.
I had no clue.
Now, I did come across a perv in my research, but I need to know a little bit more about this guy if you got anything.
I got that he was from the 60s or 70s. The number 15 was important. He was talking about women in his life and how that never went well. Obviously, he had sexual problems. And I saw him looking in a mirror in a bathroom, and he had his hands up, and there was blood all over his hands.
Well, a lot of the things you're saying reminds me of a guy named Johnny Foster. He grew up a couple doors down from here. I got a photo of him here. Now, this guy was a neighborhood criminal. He stole a lot from everybody. He was a thief. Now, most of these crimes took place during the 60s. Now, in 1968, he got caught breaking into a woman's house and watching her sleep. And she woke up when he touched her.
Oh, my goodness.
Lord.
You mentioned about blood on his hands.
Uh-huh.
And the number 15.
Uh-huh.
On the night of February 28, 1970, Johnny here wound up taking 15 pills, very strong narcotics, mixed with booze. And he breaks into a woman's house right across the street from you by the name of Harriet Thomas. She was a 52-year-old female. Harriet gets attacked by Johnny. He stabs her 27 times in the chest with a screwdriver.
Oh, my God.
In front of her 6-year-old kid.
Oh, my God.
I actually got the coroner's report. Stab wound of chest with a screwdriver.
Oh, my goodness.
My God.
He was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. He wound up dying in prison at the age of 57. I got a photo of him just before he died. Now, is it possible this could be the guy you saw?
Yeah, I think that's the guy.
I wish I could just meet him, and I wish I could just do something. I mean,
could this be who lifted Jimmy?
Oh, I don't think so. There's someone worse. I met two women in here, but the first one I'm going to discuss is the older woman. She doesn't really interact with living people. I know that she got sick here. She felt ill here. I got her sickness a lot upstairs. Dizziness, pain. I got that there was some mental confusion with her death. And then the worst part, there was an impact to her head.
You okay, Jimmy?
What?
This is a little bit of a delicate situation. You mentioned a woman you saw was sick. Back in the 1980s, Jimmy's grandmother, Helen, was diagnosed with bone cancer.
Oh.
She suffered a great deal. There might have been a problem with the medication. She was disoriented.
Yes, okay.
So, back in 1989, Jimmy's grandmother wound up committing suicide by shooting herself in the head upstairs.
She's just a good woman, you know. And she was like a saint, you know.
I actually have a picture of your grandmother. This is not too long before she passed.
You can tell she was sick.
Wow.
The important thing is for Jimmy to know, is his grandmother here?
Yeah. The good news is, I think she's here watching over you guys. She was really helpful as far as, you know, telling me bad things that other dead people were doing, you know.
I mean, I was hoping this wasn't the case, that your grandmother wasn't here, but it sounds like at least she's trying to help.
She's protecting.
Yeah.
There's one other thing I want to bring up, and this involves one of the kids. It's Mason, who's 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, Jimmy, you explain it to her better. It's your son, about what he sees in...
He says he sees blood on the floor in the same room that my grandmother.
Okay.
and he's pretty dead set on it.
Well, you do have a dead person here who would prefer the children have negative experiences.
That's what I thought.
So the person that I think is the biggest threat here is this younger dead woman. She seems to be from a very long time ago. I put her at about 25 years of age. I think her parents had some money because her fixation in life was very much focused on money and image. And she had two relationships with two different men that did not end well.
I got one woman in the research that came up that actually only lived a couple of doors down from here. This woman named Maddie Wagerman lived down here in the late 1800s. Her parents owned a tavern in town and were part of the Delmont High Society.
Now, you mentioned the woman you saw was obsessed with money. This woman, Maddie, was caught up in a pretty big scandal. She was accused of stealing things from wealthy people's homes, but she was never charged.
Interesting.
But what really got my attention was what you said about
bad relationships with men.
This woman had disastrous relationships with two men.
Hmm.
1873, she had a kid out of wedlock, which is pretty unheard of.
Back then. Of course.
So when she had the baby, it was a huge scandal. Now, 11 years later, she wound up having a second disastrous relationship with a man, a guy named J.R. Taylor. She met him and married him the same day.
Oh, nice.
3 days later, this guy, J.R. Taylor, committed suicide with an overdose of morphine.
Wow.
I actually have an article here from it. Now, in the suicide letter, he basically said that he didn't have enough money to support his new wife, and he left her the only thing he had of value, the gold piece. So you gotta wonder what kind of a woman that was that had this guy so wrapped up in one day.
Mm.
Now, when Maddie died in 1905, she was buried in the cemetery right up the street.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Now, does this sound like possibly who you ran into?
Sounds about right. I feel, obviously, that she has some mental issues. The biggest problem was that she really despises children. She doesn't even see them as human. When I saw her upstairs, she's like this monstrous, like, being up there, and there's this energy that's just horrendous. She knows exactly what to do to torture someone. I see her sleeping in the bed, like being clutched. Cold, icy hands. Really bad. I saw her racing back and forth through that door as like a silhouetted figure between the two children's bedrooms.
I know why the kids sleep downstairs.
My daughter woke up screaming that somebody was in her room, opening and slamming her drawers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was terrified.
Mason had an incident where he saw a white mist coming up the stairs.
Yeah, he said it was a white mist that looked like a human shape.
Okay.
And they wake up with bruises.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And scratches.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, could this be this woman?
Okay. Yeah.
To think that something is attacking my kids, that's enraging.
The kids can't grow up like this.
So, I had a sketch done of something that she would like to do to your son.
As a parent, I don't even want to put this down in front of you, but, you know.
Oh, my God. She's lucky I can't see her. I carry a gun on me. She's lucky she's not living. So she's trying to smother him?
Mm-hmm.
Mason breathes real heavy. You can hear him. It sounds like he's having problems breathing.
Okay. She does a weird thing with her hands and fingers over his mouth, so that does worry me.
This wicked little bitch needs to go.
What's her end game?
As far as your son, is concerned, like, she would like to kill him. I mean, that's her goal.
Is she even capable of doing that to this kid, God forbid?
I think it's a possibility, so that does worry me.
I'd burn it to the ground if it meant for my family to be happy. The house does mean a lot to me, but it does mean nowhere even close to what my children and my wife mean to me.
Right. So, guys, it's been a rough night, and I'm really sorry about that, especially about your grandma. But you two are fighters, and now you know what's going after your kids. Now, the thing is, how do we get rid of the bad debt in the house so you guys can live a normal life and raise your kids here in a comfortable manner? For that answer, I'm going to turn it over to Amy.
The first thing is to find a male medium. And this person, on the first day they're here, is to deal with the male that's here. So the medium's job here is to get him out of your house and to banish him from the house. And then the second day, actually, I would like for him, the male medium, to give you a reading because there are things that your grandmother needs to talk about. Once the reading is finished, she'll be ready to move on.
Okay, now what about the lunatic woman?
The last thing that you guys do is to have a voodoo priestess come. This is something that terrifies her. So I think that she feels like that's going to put her in a place where she kind of knows she belongs. She's pretty terrified.
Good. This little Jake could get hit by a bus tomorrow and I wouldn't care, you know what I mean?
So, Jimmy, it's got to make you feel good that you can keep the house that's been in your family for three generations.
Of course, yes.
You going to take Amy's advice?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She's gone.
I'm really concerned for Melissa and Jimmy as the dead terrorizing their family present a serious danger. But with the help of a medium and a voodoo priestess, they'll be able to rid their home of the evil surrounding it and live a peaceful life.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.